It's really wonderful today to have a writer with us, somebody who has developed a great passion for writing. And her name is Sophie Claypool, and she is at Quaker Valley Middle School. I believe she's 12 now, which I'm guessing has her going into 8th grade or 7th. And good morning, Sophie.
Hi.
I'm so glad that you're here. You're at Quaker Valley Middle School. When did you figure out that you liked to write so much?
Well, I've always really liked to make up stories and stuff, but I never really started writing them down until about a year ago. And that's when I got my first writing assignment for school.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote the story then, and I had a lot of fun, so I figured I'd try writing them down and just kind of gone from there.
Well, that's great. Who gave you that assignment?
My language arts teacher. Her name's Miss Shepherd, and it was just we had to write about what we'd done that weekend, but I had a lot of fun with it, so.
Do you still keep in touch with her at all?
Mm-hmm.
She must be really proud that she inspired you to some extent to do so much writing. Why do you like to write?
I like to write because sometimes, I really like to read, and sometimes I feel like I kind of wish that things had turned out differently. And so I think part of the reason I like to write is because I can really do what I want with it and kind of go where I want to go with it. So I have a lot of fun doing that.
That's a really neat answer. I've talked with a lot of people about writing, and nobody's ever expressed it quite that way. It gives you an ability to influence what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Control might be too strong, but I mean, you're doing that too. Now, what kinds of stories do you like to write?
I really like to write fiction stories, especially about people my age, about like things that happen to them. It's just an ordinary day, and then something really weird happens to them. And they really, I don't know, I do a lot of stuff with them, but they generally are more fantasy.
I'm curious, and we're going to have Sophie read some excerpts from an original story she wrote. When you read other people's writing that might feature people your age, do you think it's very genuine or authentic? Do you think kids your age are portrayed accurately? And I guess I would extend that to TV and movies too, but what do you think about that?
I think that on the most part, it works pretty well. I mean, I think it really depends on the author and the type. Sometimes I feel like when someone's reading off a big, long speech, then kind of needs more ums and likes and stuff because that's how kids talk. But aside from that, I think, yeah, it's pretty good.
That's a great observation, actually, because a lot of times when I see kids on TV, they're always sort of actor kids, you know, and so they have perfect teeth and never say ah or or er. And I don't always think that's the best way, although I'm told by those who make TV programs that it would be very expensive if they didn't use actors. I know that's true. But in radio, when we work and record things with kids, we often leave ums and ers and stuff. Same with adults. Very few people speak without some of those things at bot. Would you like to say hello to anybody who might be tuned in?
I'd like to say hi to my grandma. She lives over in England, and I haven't seen her in a while, but she promised she'd tune in today, so it's pretty exciting for me.
That's great. And we'll make sure this is online for her to listen to as well. So you have some excerpts. Your story is called The Problem with Wishes.
Yep.
And just so we sort of understand, you've got several excerpts that you'll be reading?
Well, I picked out three parts, and there's a couple paragraphs in the middle between them that I decided not to read, but they kind of all go together anyway.
Okay. Well, what I'd like to do is you can just sort of set up anything you need to, and then just read the three parts in order, and if you need to explain anything in between them, feel free. Does that sound okay?
Yeah, it sounds great. Thanks.
Great. If you're just tuning in, we have Sophie Claypool, who's 12, going into 7th grade at Quaker Valley Middle School. And her family's here, too. We'll identify them after Sophie reads. And you picked a good day to be tuned in. You're about to be told a story. And everybody likes to hear a good story. And here from The Problem with Wishes, her original work, is Sophie Claypool.
Not many people understand that magic isn't exactly what it's cut out to be. I learned that the hard way. I give you my solemn promise that what you're about to read is 101% true. This isn't just some writing project for school. This is true. I'm writing to warn you to be careful what you wish for. I don't really know where to start, so I suppose I'd better begin by telling you a little bit about myself. My name's Emily, and I have a twin brother, Josh. We live in a small town in England, about 100 miles from London. I have a dog, a black lab. My best friend in the whole world is called Alicia Fuller. Her and her twin brother, Patrick, who is Josh's best friend, come over almost every day. My big problem started on the first day of school, Silentsville Middle School, in fact. I bus to school every day, so I have to wake up at 6 o'clock. Now, my brother and I sleep in until 8 o'clock in the summer, so waking up was a problem, a big problem. In fact, my twin and I weren't even awake until about 6:30. I know this because Josh shouted out partway through breakfast, "Pirates ahoy!" My dad slapped him on the back to wake him up, and his eyes jumped open. He received a death stare from my mom and said it wouldn't happen again. We stumbled to the bus stop, where we found that Patrick looked just about as bad as we felt. But not Alicia. There's something you should know about my best friend. Some might call her a geek. Others call her a genius. They pretty much mean the same thing. Alicia is the best student ever. And I do mean ever. I once caught her crying because she only got 99% on her math test. I mean, this girl could be doing college-level work. But her parents can't afford to send her to a genius school, and so she's stuck in sixth grade. And so, of course, Alicia looked just like a model student, black hair pulled back, white shirt, plaid skirt, as usual. I think that before I go any farther, I should probably stop and tell you about my friends and I. Alicia is tall, with black hair and horn-rimmed glasses. She's not geeky-looking, but very, very professional. Patrick has carrot-red hair with bright blue eyes and a very average style of dressing. In fact, Patrick is the kind of person you look through instead of at. And then there's Josh. How can I describe him? Slacker, lazy, annoying, sarcastic, vain, self-centered, ostentatious. And I still love him. And then there's me. So the next part of the story just goes on to tell how their school day went, but I'm just going to kind of fast forward to that evening. Alicia came over to do homework that night. Josh was out at basketball practice with Patrick, so we had the kitchen to ourselves. We pulled out our language arts. As we worked, the boys barged in, talking at the top of their lungs. Alicia and I exchanged an annoyed look. Anyone with brothers knows the look I'm talking about. The, who on earth invented brothers and how can I get even with them look. I wish they'd be quiet, I grumbled. We returned to our homework, only to look up in amazement. The noise had stopped. Not just a lull in the never-ending, boring conversation that boys specialize in. I mean nothing. Not a peep from our brothers. We turned around and then saw that instead of being considerate, as if, the boys were physically not capable of talking. Their mouths were opening and closing like goldfish in a silent cartoon. We burst into astonished laughter. Now, before you start thinking how mean we were, I must intervene. They looked hilarious. It was not so much the goldfish faces, but the expressions on them. Pure astonishment. Go ahead, laugh. I know you cannot possibly imagine how this would look unless you've ever seen it. I hope you never do. For if you ever do see it, it means that you're soon to be involved in the same tangled web that trapped me. But as soon as the humor of the situation died away, our mirth turned to horror. What had just happened? Patrick was the most down-to-earth out of the four of us, and he immediately put two and two together. He began to test how far my wish extended. He stomped on the floor, banged on the door, grabbed a fire poker, and whacked the wall. Not a single sound escaped. This was worse than expected. Or maybe better. In fact, let's stick with this as better than expected. Being perfectly honest, who wouldn't give anything for a chance to silence their brother? A really devoted sister, or possibly an insane one. Alicia was the second most practical out of us. She turned to me, grabbed my arm, and said, "Emily, what have you done? By creating a sound barrier, you have very possibly created a time barrier, essentially creating an alternate universe, or maybe," here she gasped, "destroying one." I lost her after, "What have you done?" but figured she was trying to tell me to fix the problem. I was the third to figure out that I had wished them into silence, and so I was the only one who could unwish it. I wish that everyone could hear them? No! Alicia's warning came too late. I had made a wish, and nothing could take it back. Instantly, the boys, who had been frantically trying to talk, had foghorns instead of voices. My wish had brought new meaning to the phrase, "you could hear him in China." If my new wish was anything like my old one, then everyone, and I do mean everyone, could hear them. Which wasn't a good thing, because Josh had chosen that particular moment to unleash some very choice vocabulary, which I've chosen not to repeat here. We hurriedly shushed them and rushed upstairs while we figured out what to do. The first thing that we decided was that under no conditions were the boys to talk. Then Alicia and I set to figuring out how to unwish my newest wish. Alicia was busy calculating the exact level and tones that the boys usually talked out, while I was trying to figure out how to stop Josh from destroying everything in his impatience. However, I was getting kind of annoyed too, and decided just to ignore Alicia's calculations and wing it. I wished that the boys could make noise and speak and shout and sing and perform any sound-making activities at the level and tone that is normal for them. Alicia's expression, which had started out furious, turned to pleasantly surprised. Wow, that was really good. I didn't know whether to be insulted or flattered. But now I had another dilemma. If I only had 3 wishes, I had just wasted them on my brother. I decided to try and wish one more time. I wish... My voice cracked partway through it, giving me inspiration. I wished for a glass of water to appear in my hand. One instantly appeared. I took a sip, only to spit it out. It was salt water. And then, I guess this is the last part. Alicia decided to find out if Josh had my abilities. After multiple failed attempts to conjure up a Ferrari, we decided I was the only gifted person in my family, in more ways than one. But since I'm a kind, perfect, wonderful, popular individual, I decided to grant Patricia, Alicia, and Josh each 1 wish. For now. I granted them more later, as you will see. Patrick wished for a puppy. A squirming, fluffy little ball of fur appeared in his arms. Unfortunately, he'd forgotten he was allergic to dogs. Alicia, forever a perfect student, wished she could recite pie by heart. All of pie, which never ends. She was very pleased with her wish. Very pleased. Josh decided he wanted a Ferrari, and before we could stop him, one appeared in my room. Great. Then we had the problem of finding a good home for Patrick's puppy, an animal shelter, coming up with a believable explanation for how Alicia memorized pie, and deciding what to do with Josh's Ferrari. By this point, it was time for Alicia and Patrick to go home, but we had tomorrow to look forward to, or dread. The next morning, Josh woke up early to beg me for another wish. Since he did have to give up his Ferrari, I complied and granted him 1 more wish. I regretted it when I found out he'd aced his math test that day. Josh never aces tests. Ever. So there went that wish. The next day, we all gathered at my house to discuss how things had been. Alicia was desperate to know if I'd made any wishes that day. I thought guiltily back to 3rd period, where I had a close encounter with the biggest snoot in school, Lainey Kardebeck. Her parents were important people, and so she strutted about as if she owned the place. What really annoyed me was how scared everyone was of her. So when she tried to boss me around, I couldn't resist. I turned her into a big, fluffy, white bunny. She scampered off into the bush, where I saw her shaking and quivering. Served her right. Somehow, I didn't think Alicia would agree with my logic. So I crossed my fingers and said, in a falsely cheerful voice, "Nope, no wishes." Patrick shot me a glance, and I realized he must have seen me change Lainey. But he remained quiet about it, and I saw no reason to enlighten his sister. As we talked about how weird the whole thing was, the sound of nails scratching against my window caused us all to jump. We all turned to look, and I barely managed to muffle a scream. A strange, floating woman was suspended in midair, staring into my room. She opened her mouth to talk, and somehow, through the window, every word was crystal clear. "Which one of you has broken the taboo and reawoken the ancient magic?" Her voice was strange and floaty and sent shivers up my spine. Without a moment's hesitation, Josh pointed straight at me. "Great. Thanks a lot, dear brother." There was no way of possibly knowing what we were in for and the trouble that I had and would cause.
Sophie, that was... Excuse me. That was just great.
Thanks.
Absolutely great. Does West Yorkshire in a town of Pontefract mean anything to you? That's where your grandmother wrote us from, and she's listening, and said lots of love. Tell Sophie hi. I'm listening in. Granny Annie.
So, yeah, that's her.
You really read well.
Thanks.
As well, and have a great writer's voice. Have you thought about were you thinking about a career in writing?
Well, I've always wanted to do something in the medical field, and I was kind of thinking about being a vet, but if I could get a couple of my stories published, I think that'd be really, really great. That's kind of what I'd like to do if I could.
Well, you're really very gifted.
Thanks.
And I enjoyed the story as well as just the way you read it, too. And Thank you. Maybe we can do this again sometime. It would be fun to have you do it. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Not really.
Okay. Well, thank you. And
thank you.
Congratulations. And I think this is your whole family here at home. You have one brother?
One brother, yeah.
And what's his name?
His name's Matthew.
I think we're going to get him to talk. Do you want to say hi, Matthew?
Hi.
Hi. How old are you?
I am 11.
And what do you like to do?
I like to do sports because I've always dreamed of doing all these different sports. It depends on what season it is because that always changes.
Uh-huh.
Like right now I want to be a cyclist. Later on I want to play soccer. Like, yeah, it always changes.
Well, you can do all those things.
Yeah.
It's nice to have you here. And let's see if we can get your parents to say hello because they're here too. Maybe not. I won't ask you how old you are. You can just lean up there a little bit. I'm guessing you're Sophie's dad and Matt's dad.
That's right. Yeah. Hi.
And are you from the UK originally?
Yes, we are. We've been living in the Pittsburgh area for about 8.5 years now.
What brought you here?
Work. Okay. I was working in Switzerland, actually, and joined a company here in the Pittsburgh area and had the opportunity to come over. We were supposed to come for 2 years, and that was 8.5 years ago.
So. Well, that's great. I'm glad. I hope you like Pittsburgh.
Absolutely. Yeah, we think it's great.
And congratulations on both of your kids. They really seem like great kids. This is Sophie's day. Matt, we'll have to have you come down, and you can call us, you know, and participate sometime from home, too. And your mom's here, too. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Sophie, you're a really gifted writer. Thank you. Thanks to all of you for being here today.
Thank you.